Good afternoon. Welcome to the weekly livestock market update. I'm Brownfield anchor reporter Megan Grebner. With us, as always, to talk all things markets is University of Missouri livestock economist Scott Brown. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon, Megan.
Whew, a big week to kick off USDA reports, and we'll get to all of those coming up. But to recap, or to start off, let's recap what happened this week in the markets.
Yeah, starting on the cattle side of the equation this week, we saw live cash cattle that were really basically unchanged relative to a week ago. Those feeder cattle markets came in steady to $5 lower this week. When we look at the futures side, the February live cattle futures contract was down about $1.30 this week, while we tumbled on the March feeder cattle futures contract down more than $5.40 on the week. The choice box beef price gained this week, up $2.20. I would say primarily driven by what were higher ribs and loin components in that choice box beef bundle. On the hog side, cash hogs for the week were a dollar higher, while that February live hog futures contract closed down nearly 70 cents. Pork cutout value was higher this week, up nearly $3.25. Ribs, hams, and bellies all were higher, driving that cutout value higher for the week.
Scott, as we get into reports, let's kick off with cold storage. And I think my big takeaway or the big takeaway from this week's cold storage or this month's cold storage report is that there is a massive amount of pork and chicken being held.
We certainly have seen a lot of increase in pork and chicken stocks. And I'll say, as we've been looking at a few reports now, we're seeing signs of that growth. You know, one could go back to September of this year, where total red meat and poultry were stocks were 4.3% below year-ago levels. And we sit here now with the December numbers 3% above where we were a year ago at this level. It just reminds us we've been growing. I think we want to pay attention to that. I don't want to put too much emphasis. When you start looking at the individual pieces of that, pork cold storage in December was 15% above year-ago levels. Loins being up nearly 46%, bellies being up 60%, led to some of the growth that we've seen there. On the chicken side, chicken cold storage stocks came in a little more than 9% above year-ago levels for December of 2019. Just to frame that a little bit, back in September, they were actually 4.6% below where we were in 2018. So we've seen a pretty quick turnaround in those chicken cold storage stocks. I guess the good news is we still have beef cold storage stocks that were nearly 3% below year ago levels for December. But even in that case, you know, you go back to May, we were down nearly 13%. So we've certainly been seeing year to date levels getting a lot closer to where we were a year ago, and we'll keep paying attention to all of that.
Scott, as we talk about this, how quickly can this change if we start to see more of our pork going to China and some of those places that have been impacted so drastically by African swine fever?
Yeah, so I think you could see a quick change. I remind us that, you know, relative to production, we usually are holding fairly modest levels of stocks for most of these products. So it doesn't take much of a change to pull those stock holdings back down again. And I like to remind us that we have been growing production and of all these meats for a long period of time. And as you grow production, all else equal, you're probably going to hold a little more stocks. So stocks we're holding today being larger than where we were historically, especially from a longer term perspective, that's probably anticipated a little bit just given the overall supply situation.
Anything else we need to touch on there?
I think that covers it. We'll just continue to pay attention as we roll here into 2020 to see if these stocks continue to grow. We don't need that to happen for all of 2020, or we might find ourselves in a not so good situation as we get later in the year.
Livestock slaughter also out this week, and production higher for both beef and pork.
Yeah, that's right. If you look at annual production that we got out of livestock slaughter, annual for 2019, commercial beef production that was 1% higher relative to 2018. I go total cattle slaughter up 1.7%, got offset a little bit by what was 0.6% lower cattle weights at the end of the day. On the pork side, though, a lot of pork. If we look at December, 9% above 2018 happened in December for an annual, 5% above as 4.5% more total hog slaughter combined with a 0.6% increase in hog weights to give us that 5% total jump in commercial pork production. So, you know, I go, it confirms what we've talked about for a long time in terms of what's going on. And I think both of these industries are poised to kind of continue. So we'll get fairly good growth in pork production in 2020. And we could, although maybe some expansion in commercial beef production, I think it will stay a little more in check as well as we roll into 2020.
Big report today, or the big news of the day, cattle on feed report came out this afternoon and really came in pretty close to those pre-report estimates.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, you look at on feed January 1, we came in at 102.3, so higher on feed numbers. That didn't surprise anyone. The pre-report midpoint was 102.1, but it does remind us we've got more cattle sitting there in the feed yard. That, again, I think drives more production for us at the end of the day. When we look at cattle placements, we came in at 103.5 in the report today. That was, again, very near the 103.3 pre-report average trade guess. So, you know, not much that I guess really sticks out to me, except just to remind us more cattle here for the first part of 2020.
All right, let's talk a little bit about trade. We've got a couple of weeks under our belt with Japan. We have a couple of a week or so after the phase one signing. And the agreement, I know we are not necessarily seeing massive amounts of pork and beef headed out of the U.S., but are we starting to see some progress, or what we could call progress?
Yeah, so I think when you look at the weekly sales data that's sitting there, we are starting to suggest some progress. I think still have a ways to go to like get overexcited about these market prices overheating as a result of trade. I think you can look at Japan and beef and maybe start to get a little more optimistic about what's going to happen in 2020 as we now have tariffs lower on our product equal to where we sit with Australia. And also just the drought issues going on in Australia, I think, is going to help us push more beef to Japan. China as well, I think we continue to see reasonable levels of pork headed to China at this point. We'll have to wait and see. I think that, you know, the phase one trade deal is certainly positive for us. It would be a very different situation if we could get those retaliatory tariffs off on the pork side. We might get a chance to certainly ship more pork to China under that scenario. I say that phase one deal, it's going to take a little bit as we look through the data, I think, before we see too much positive. So we're all going to watch those weekly export sales numbers pretty closely here for the next several weeks to see what really unfolds.
Scott, that'll do it for us this week. One of the reports coming out next week is the cattle inventory report. Anything that we're looking for specifically, especially, or any hints maybe what we might see after looking at today's cattle on feed report?
Yeah, so I think a lot of folks are continuing to say we're going to have lower cattle inventories, lower beef cow numbers when we get this report. I'm thinking we're going to be on the negative side of that as well, that we will have lower beef cow numbers. When you look at the cattle on feed report today, we did see nearly 38% of that on-feed inventory were heifers, which to me continues to suggest we're not holding heifers back in the herd. You combine that with what was an annual beef cow slaughter that was 5.5% above the 2018 level. You know, both those things to me suggest we'll have fewer beef cow numbers. That report is going to set the stage for us over the next several months in terms of the supply side of the cattle industry.
Any other reports we're looking at and we'll be talking about next Friday?
I think when we get to the end of the week, we'll also get a restaurant performance index report. help us get a little more insight into what's happening in terms of domestic demand for beef and pork.
Sounds great. We will talk to you then next Friday. Scott, have a great weekend.
You do the same, Megan.
All right. To have our weekly livestock market update delivered to your email box every Saturday morning, visit our website, brownfieldagnews.com. You can submit questions and comments there as well. For market updates twice daily, check out John Perkins Market Minute and make sure to check out all of the great Brownfield podcasts available online at brownfieldagnews.com/podcast. Have a great weekend. I'm Megan Grebner for Brownfield.